Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
On today's episode of the podcast, just a true Hawkeye legend. This guy was someone who the three of us modeled our careers after. He laid the groundwork for walk-ons in the Iowa program. Mark is an incredible guy all around, and you guys are going to get to see that. Mark Weissman, everybody. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 211 of the podcast. And today is actually one of the coolest episodes for me personally. Our guest today is going to get a lengthy introduction because he's got a lot of titles. First of all, it's coach. To be respectful for the rest of forever, once you're my coach, you're always my coach. One of the best guys who's ever came through the Iowa football program, one of the most longest tenured, respected individuals between those walls. From player to intern to legend, well, from player to legend to intern to coach, one of the most mentally tough humans I've ever met, somebody who sets the standard for how humans should perform in their life, both inside and outside of their profession, somebody I've looked up to since the day he took over Kinnick Stadium, man, 2011 or 12, 45 goes from fullback to running back, and the rest is history. Mark Weissman, the legend. Welcome to the Watson Walk-Ons podcast, pal. I love you, man.
Yeah, great to be here, fellas. It's been too long since we've talked real, and it's good to be with you, fellas.
Yeah, it's I shot you the message. I saw you. Well, first of all, this started because for those that don't follow Mark on Instagram or the social media, he's been through a few different waves. He was coach at one point at Iowa, intern, then he coached his own program. Now he's doing something else. We'll get to all of that, but he's into the powerlifting, and and so is Kevin. So you guys can maybe talk about it between the two of you, but I saw you pull on the wagon wheels like 900 fucking pounds the other day, dude. What are you doing?
So one of our clients just brought him in. He's a big lifter. So he brought him in to mess around with him. We saw him, one of the trainers and I saw him, and we're like, all right, let's just see how much we can do. So like,
it was once you see that, once you see the apparatus in the gym, you can't not pick it up.
Of course. And yeah. I thought it was going to be a less of a pull. I thought it was going to be like 1 or 2 inches. Right when like I saw it, I'm like, perfect. I can do as much as possible. And then we start doing it. I'm like, fuck, this is actually kind of like a rack pull. It's a little less, but like, it's kind of like a rack. I'm like, shit, I actually have to put like real effort into this.
Yeah. And you ended up pulling what, 965?
Yeah, somewhere in there, 955, 965, depending on how much exactly the trap bar weighed. But no, it was just, yeah. And then it was like, it's when you like, you blow your load to, or like, I wanted to go for 1,000, but I blew my load on that one. Like, there's no way I would shit my spine out the next ride. So I'm like, I'm smarter now. 5 years ago, for sure.
Would have gone forward and probably. Hey. I got in that exact same spot decided, I didn't know Josie was an incredible deadlifter for a guy that never deadlifts. We didn't deadlift at Iowa, but we were getting into deadlift in the NFL training. And I mean, I had a head that barely could fit in the damn weight room. I thought I was so damn strong. And Josie went in there and smoked me in deadlift to the point where I pulled my groin. because I just couldn't compete with this guy. So I've been there, dude.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Kevin, what do you deadlift? What was your PR?
Not enough, man. Not enough.
Well, it is. It's in the sixes.
It's not quite in the sixes. That's the goal. It's around 570 right now. Okay.
Mark, you always
try.
You always been a strong guy since high school.
Yep. I mean, it started with just doing the dumbest things in the world. Like, there was an export there. They're all over Chicago. I don't know if they're anywhere.
Is that like a facility?
Yeah, it's a gym. It's just a gym. And they allow 14, like under 16. Most of the gyms, like you had to be 16 back.
Right.
Then. So they allowed you in there. So I get dropped off. I do every machine, like as many reps as I could to failure every time. Just stupid shit until I learned like strength and conditioning more, like as I got like a year or two older. But like, I'm just like, I'm just going to lift weights and get big. Like, I'm not, what's this basketball thing? I used to play basketball. Like, no chance. We're getting big because football is the thing.
God, I should have been on the Mark Wiseman program. I tried to stick basketball out through senior year. You know, I averaged a cool 5-5, my senior year. Best shit talker on the team, great at defense, but should have just spent time lifting more weights, man. Cause talk about a guy who was built. You would probably say yourself, you're not the most genetic freak in the world, but by the numbers you put up, if someone didn't know you, they'd be like, I don't know, pretty freaky to me.
Yeah, are you sure? Like,
so that was literally just like, you just went in, did as much as you could. Cause I know I went back a little bit of research on this. Yeah. You were like 145, similar just to Drake as a freshman in high school, little guy.
Yep.
And so you were just like, I got to find a way to get big.
Especially like, we didn't run the triple option, but the fullback was the running back in our system. Wing T, robust, three in the backfield. So if I was going to play and wanted to play there, I had to get bigger. Like, there was no speed type stuff. You need speed obviously still, but like, you had to be a bigger type guy.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to fit the mold. I'm going to just do this until I got hurt. And then I hurt my back a little bit, which is fine. Like, worth all the weight. It was worth, because sophomore year, from freshman to sophomore, I was pushing 2 bills at that point. So it was like 60 pounds.
Wow.
I grew a couple inches too, which helped. But no, so, and then eventually, like, I figured it out. I had a good high school coach that knew, like, the Iowa program. So we were doing, like, Devo programs. Mm-hmm. From like sophomore on.
Nice. That's elite.
Yeah. So it was lucky in that sense.
Yeah. Cause at my high school, it was like, hey, if you want to come lift, we'll have it open from 7 to 8.
That's how it still is though. In most schools, which is unfortunate.
I know. We'll get into that too. So you started as a sophomore in high school.
Yeah. So that's a funny story. So I'm a sophomore. I'm on the sophomore team first 2 weeks. And then, let it behold, a couple guys get injured. We're playing a not-so-great school in our conference. So they're, like, injured. They're going to sit out. So I go up there, do pretty well. They're hurt again the next week, do really well, and then kind of stuck it up there.
And
kind of like the same fucking story.
Never played again.
No, they played, but, like, yeah, like, it was – I played well there as a sophomore, and the junior, senior did well.
So. It's crazy. So you literally – you deja vu'd in college then. It was like living.
Yeah, it was, it's a little more extreme, obviously, in the college level. Cause I was expecting to be a starter as a junior on varsity.
Right.
In high school. Like, you can dream all you want of being a running back. Doesn't mean you're going to be a running back.
Yeah, Drake did it.
Yeah, man, I found that out actually, Mark. It's a funny story. As of the career goes, one of us wore 45 and was a running back. One of us wore 45 and just never got to pick his hand up off the ground.
So
I had to ask you, so coming out of college, you went to Air Force, right?
Yes.
Kevin was going to go to Air Force. Two dudes that are very similar who I actually think would fit the mold for a military academy very, very well. Why not Air Force?
So I think the issue with the Air Force was I wasn't ready to like not have football be my 100% number one.
Mm.
And I knew that going in, but until you live it, you don't know. Like boot camp, like it's 6 weeks of like BS, and you have to do it. But like, I didn't hate it because it was singular focused. There's nothing else to focus on. Once football, once football, military, and school all came in at once, like I was just trying to kill myself to be good at all of them. And I'm like, I either have to like lessen my dreams for football and like lessen the ability I can do, or I have to quit football and focus straight on military and school, or go somewhere else. So,
cause that's like, the kind of guy you were, is you're all in, like that's
all in. It is. It's all in. And like, you learn from everything. Like I failed at everything before I've ever succeeded. Like I failed hard at everything. I don't know about you guys, but like, I've never just succeeded at anything. Like I've had to put in a ton of work to get to be successful at anything.
Mostly true for me. Yeah. I would say one thing, and it was like when I picked up a ball to long snap it, for some reason I was just good at it. But everything else has been like, yeah, you basically suck. I don't know. Kev and Mark, Drake, you mentioned it. You guys are, I mean, you're basically the same guy in my eyes. Like regimented is the first word that comes to mind. And so the military, but that makes sense when you describe it like that, Mark. It's like, it's almost because you want to give so much to each thing. You just can't. And so there was no life. Like how far did you get in? Cause you got into that first semester, you would have been practicing.
So I was practicing with football. Like there's no real camp cause they can't, like you're already on campus. Like
right.
It's just practices. So yeah, I got through that through football a couple weeks, I don't know, 3-4 weeks into football. And then start talking to the coaches like, hey, like I'm, like I was trying always to be upfront, not hide anything. I'm like, hey, like I'm not happy.
Yeah.
This is why like I'm doing this. And then talk to the head coach. He's like, just stick it out as much as you can. And that was the last conversation I had with him before like everything went down kind of and I left. So I didn't know what standing I left on. This is coming to a story here. So 2012 spring ball at Iowa. That's like after the year I sat out. So my second spring ball would have been. We always have visitors, right? You know, like from all colleges all over.
Oh, yeah.
Usually like smaller schools, but sometimes some bigger ones too. So the name pops up. It sounds familiar. I'm like, why does that sound so familiar? I'm like, who is that? I've heard that name before. So then I come to the meeting with the running back coach. Like, oh, you see who's in today? I'm like, yeah. Like, wow, who is that guy? He's like, he was like your head coach at Air Force. Oh my God. So he's in the meeting. I'm like, I don't know if he hates me or anything. I don't even know if he knows I'm here. So like, I have no idea how this is going to go.
Oh,
but
man.
He was the nicest guy about it. I had the worst practice in my life that day.
Oh, good.
Like, the worst one. Like I was so bad. Like I wasn't even that nervous. It was just terrible practice, of course.
Yeah.
When he was there, but like, it was just funny how like everything always comes full circle.
Yeah. That is funny. So you met
now. I heard the worst part about the Air Force Academy was you had to sleep on the floor basically because if your bed wasn't perfect every morning, then you were getting hazed.
Yes, you got like you were done for. And it's the issue was I didn't care about myself, they could do whatever to me, whatever, but they would kill our squad because of me. So I'm like, I'm not gonna be that guy. So if I knew an inspection was coming, so it wasn't every night, but if I knew an inspection was coming, I was 100% sleeping on the floor.
Wow. That's funny. That's not funny, but it actually kind of talks to a similar thing about Iowa is like, you don't want to be that guy. Don't be that guy is a good, maybe a good motto. Could go on a t-shirt for the Hawks. I want to bring it back to, you had to sit out a year and now they have this whole rule of no sit out. You can transfer.
I already know how he feels about it. I appreciate your answer before you even say it, dude.
What do you think about the transfer portal and all that?
Yeah. So transfer portal, I like certain aspects. I think if a coach leaves, you should be able to transfer.
Yeah.
I think if there's extenuating circumstances, like something back home happened, not a fake one, like where people talk about it, then you have to go back home, help out with the fan, whatever it is. Like, fine. There's certain circumstances, but everyone, it's an instant gratification world we're in instead of delayed gratification. Sometimes, hey, it is right to transfer. Make your transfer. For me, it was right to transfer. But how many guys have stuck it out at Iowa that we know, and then have become big time players.
Yeah.
Because they stuck it out. But if they went to transfer somewhere else, probably wouldn't have been that way. Josh Jackson, right? That's like number one that comes to mind.
He's the first one that comes to mind. Yeah.
Of course. But there's a million of the guys that, like, how many guys you hear stories that, oh, I was going to transfer and leave. Like, a lot of people have those thoughts, but like some of them are more real than not. Like Pat Anger, like he was close.
Yeah.
To like being done and then came back and the ultimate savage there. So, like, there are so many guys with that story. So I think it takes away from it a lot. And it's this year more than any year is crazy just because there aren't enough scholarships for the people that are playing. So
right.
I feel bad for the seniors in high school too. Like a lot of people are getting the short end of the stick, but life's not fair and the best will adapt.
I love that.
And I was going to ask about, from a coaching perspective, what you thought about this whole debacle of having now six classes in the same building on 85 scholars. Cause I've had that question for quite a while.
So what was that, six classes?
Yeah. Because you're going to have, you always have five classes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And now you add a sixth class for a super senior, super, super senior. And you got 85 scholarships to go across six classes.
Yeah, it doesn't work. The math doesn't add up.
No.
Well, it's either that you have to tell some guys you're done and then go transfer, which is why the transfer portal is probably through the roof.
True.
Some probably by not their design. Like some guys probably wanted to stay, but they're like, hey, you got to go.
I didn't even think about that.
So it's just, it's a mess right now. But like we talk, like there's always stuff that's going to go down. Adversity is going to strike. So what are you going to do about it?
Let's run it back to, you were the head strength and conditioning coach for
Southeast Missouri.
Yes. For 1 or 2 years, 2 years?
Just one. And it wasn't, I had one game because of the COVID stuff. We played one against Southern Illinois. So.
Wow. You took that path after, I guess it runs all the way back to you graduate, then you try the NFL out. We'll talk about some of that stuff.
Yep.
Then you intern with Coach Doyle and the staff at Iowa. Yep. And then you're a coach at Iowa, your assistant with probably Cody, Nick, Justin.
All
those guys.
Joel left. That's how I got on staff.
Yeah, you took Joel's position. We've talked about Joel plenty on the podcast.
That was such an unbelievable assistant coaching crew.
Yeah.
Just players, coaches, man. Like, sometimes players are on eggshells around the coaches. You know that. You got to be trying to be perfect. We talk about that ad nauseum on this podcast. But we didn't have to be perfect around y'all because y'all are our friends. Like, we respected your authority. We listened to y'all. We trained as hard as we could for y'all. But we were friends, and that was, like, a great dynamic.
No, and I think if you can have that dynamic, and it's not easy to have, but all of us pretty much played, so we understood where you were at. Like, I know Justin played, DeMarco played. I'm not, Joel didn't, but Joel was a man, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
We had an understanding of what you guys are going through. So I think it was easier to see, like, hey, I know what they're feeling right now.
Yeah. Was that tough to manage that relationship? I've always thought about that. Cause when I think of Nick DeMarco and you, the first thing that comes to mind was like, we're boys. And it was a little different with you because we actually played on the same team, right? But like DeMarco, especially, he always felt like just another guy, but he also maintained that level of respect from everybody of like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. And when he says something, people listen and they do what they're supposed to do. I think that you mentioned how it's tough. I think it's tougher than people even can imagine. Like that's.
No, it is. It's really tough. And Nick is obviously the man and doing great things at Elon, and it's the sky's the limit. Whatever he wants to do, he's going to do.
Yeah.
Nick can do whatever he wants. I'm just going to throw 500 on, not warm up, barefoot, and hit it, right?
He's stupid.
Like, he's the man of, like, the men of men is what he is. And, like, he did a great job, and he demanded, like, respect based on his knowledge.
Yeah.
He played and the stuff that he did. And I feel like every one of you guys respected that. So that was easy. With me, it's different. Like, I played with some of you guys, but it was, like, we were friends. But it wasn't like, I'm not going out partying with you guys. Like, that was never an issue. I think that's probably why they allowed me to intern so recent. Same with Kevin when he interned, because we weren't the guys going out with you.
Yeah.
Right. So
it was a weird dynamic. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
At the very first, you learn to kind of manage it, but it's definitely weird at first. Now you were out of the program for, was it 1 or 2 years before you came back?
Yeah, 1 year.
1 year, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I literally stepped out the door and stepped right back in. So, like, you know, that senior class I was, like, good friends with, and that was kind of weird for me.
Yeah. No, exactly. No, you were. So, yeah, it's definitely a different dynamic. I remember Drake specifically, you probably don't even remember saying this. I was, like, making shakes or cleaning something. He's like, dude, like, you were a legend around here. Why are you doing this intern thing? And I'm like, dude, you gotta start the white belt mentality, right? Like, it has to be. You gotta always start from the ground floor.
And I get it. I get it. Because, like, that's the type of human you are, and you're not gonna fucking big up anybody, regardless if you know what's going on or not. But, like, you already earned it. That's the thing, man. Like, I know you went back and took a smaller job, just like Kevin, and you guys bit the bullet and, you know, put your pride aside, whatever, and you just did the bitch work. But you did the bitch work for 5 years and earned legendary status in that building. Like, it just feels wrong to be having Mark Wiseman be like, yeah, Mark, let me get a strawberry banana, bitch. Like, that's just not right.
Man. Hey, Mark. You gotta start somewhere, man.
Mark, grab me a Kind bar. Yeah. That is, it was odd, but I get it too. Like, you know, you're like, now it's like he was a freshman again. You're the walk-on freshman to the strength staff, and you got to earn your shit, because that's a whole different world. And as both of you know, Kevin and Mark, you have more similarities and more common stops in your story, as Kevin is now the orthopedic trauma sales guy for Stryker / vice president. And Mark, you can talk about your time in the league. It was short. You signed with Cincinnati. You should still be playing in the league, I think, in my opinion. But then you got into medical sales as well, right?
Yeah. So I was in medical sales 6-7 months, I think it was. And then similar thing, I was like, I thought I needed to get away. We can go into the story of, like, the Bengals stuff. Like, I thought I needed to get away from sports just for, like, I got to get away from it. Like, this has been my life for forever, sports, yeah, and committed 100% to it. But then you get away from it to know you want to get back in.
Right.
So, like, that's what I wanted to be a part of. Like, that was always my goal. Like, I went to school to be a strength coach, health and human phys, but, like, that doesn't mean that's what you're going to do. But more or less, I just wanted to help people and give back to the same way the people that gave back to me.
Yeah.
And that's still the goal. So whatever way you can do it, and you can do that in any profession, realistically. But it was my thing. I wanted to be back in sports. I loved it. I just loved the team dynamic of it.
What was your time with the Bengals like?
No, so it was, so got there for summer. I couldn't do contact stuff. Not that there was much because of the shoulder. It was fine, but you had to wait the 6 months because I had shoulder surgery after the senior year.
Right, right.
So it was good. There's some interesting characters on that team. We had Vontaze Burfict. We had Pac-Man. Pac-Man was a man. Like,
that's two of the all-time bad dudes in the NFL.
I know, right? But, like, Pac-Man was different. Like, Pac-Man may have been – he had his issues off the field, right? But on the field, great guy. Like, he's the man. Great teammate.
But what about – yeah, great teammate. But what about on the competitive surface? Like, Pac-Man was a dirty, gritty bastard on the surface.
He'll do whatever it takes.
Yeah.
He would do whatever it takes. But he's all – like, he'll take on blocks from fullbacks and, like, in practice. He's a football player. He's a football player, no doubt. And Vontaze Burfict is a crazy person. He's a hell of a football player if he's not trying to headhunt, which was the issue. Like, 20, 30 years ago, he could have got away with some of the stuff, which was legal. But now you can't be doing that stuff. So there's a reason why it doesn't work. But
Burfict would have been a absolute legend for 15 years in the 80s.
Yeah, 85 Bears. If he was on, like, he fits right in with the 85 Bears.
Hey, great. Tell me that Pac-Man and Vontaze aren't Miles and Kyle Taylor.
Yes, right? That's hilarious. That's perfect.
So you made it through – did you make it, like, through the last cuts then? And then?
Yeah, so there weren't real cuts. Like, they cut you if you have no chance.
Right.
But they watch you because that fourth preseason game – they don't want to play any of the starters. So they it kind of fizzled out those cuts, but they're like, why are we even making these cuts now? Like, we'll wait a week. But third preseason game, Bears get a concussion, like, bad, like like I go down, like luckily there's a pile. Well, maybe not luckily, but there's a pile. Like I get up, fall back down. It's like you're playing dizzy bat, right? Oh. So like your brain, like this isn't the bell rung. This is a real one. Like I'm dizzy bat. I can't see anything. So like luckily that was, it was third down there. Maybe we had, no, we got it first. So I came out because only fullbacks come in for a few plays if that's in the NFL. So when I come out and like I see my roommate who in camp, I'm like, dude, I'm messed up right now. Like, do I go back in or do I tell him? And he's like, get away from me. I'm not making this decision for you. Like, you gotta like figure it out. And of course I played through and like took 15 more hits that game. Like we actually were in with the fullback. So next day, I've never had symptoms ever from the concussions that I've had, like the real ones, not bell rung. And I played through every one of them, been fine. This one I had bad symptoms with, and I'm just like, shit, like this is real. I had to tell them. So next morning they pull up the film. There's a spotter that's supposed to spot concussions. They're like, how did they miss this? Like,
really?
I was like walking around and I fell on my face and got back up. And like, I look like a drunk person for like that play. And I'm like, how did they miss that? So they missed it, which was good and bad, obviously. Like I played through. I'm like, but I had to play through if I was going to make the team. So couldn't pass the test. Like it was with a doctor.
Yeah.
Couldn't pass the test for like 2-3 weeks.
Oh my God.
So week one, once I'm done, I get cut and I'm like, all right, do I trust myself? Because I can't keep doing this. Do I trust myself? If I get another concussion, am I going to play through it again or am I going to tell someone? And I know the answer in a heartbeat. I'm going to play through it because I'm going to do it. Like I gained my jobs. Every job I've had, like in football, I've gained through someone getting injured, right? So at all costs, you got to keep playing. Unfortunately, and that's the mindset that I had, and there was no way. So I'm like, this is it. I got to be done. Like money, that I could care less about the money. It's, I love the game of football. But at this point, my brain is too important at this point.
Yeah. Smart man.
Drake knows. Dude, there's too many freaking hits that we've took. Kevin E. too, when he's linebacker.
Absolutely, dude. And talk about playing through concussions. Very last game I ever played, that was the Pinstripe Bowl. No recollection of it, but I knew it was my last game, so I was going to play.
Yeah, exactly right.
I had a play similar to what you're talking about, Mark. I wasn't I was a lot closer to the sideline, but I went down and Sean Welsh went down on the back of my head, and it knocked me out. And when I woke up, I just like looked around. And I was like, oh my fucking God, I'm at Kinnick Stadium. What the hell? And I just ran off the field.
Yeah, it's like, and it's just like nothing to it. And like, I know the kind of guy you are. And like, we have a similar mentality where if you're a fullback, you have that mentality that you're playing. Unless it's going to hurt the team. Like if I couldn't remember where I was, I would tell somebody because it would hurt the team because the team always came first.
Yeah, but, I had to peel our buddy B. Ross off the turf one time too, and he still somehow passed that test.
So I'm in foreign territory here because number of concussions in college for this guy, zero. Yeah. Not even close. Well, didn't even get my bell rung once. So different for me.
You're telling me that you did combat drill? You did combat drill.
And No. I never did combat drill.
Snappers. Okay, but you did tackling circuit and never got your bell rung? Probably didn't even have a mouthpiece.
No, I did. I did. For a while there, the first couple of years, I would do no mouthpiece for practice because it didn't matter. But then they made the snappers start doing tackling circuit. And I was like, okay, I'm going to bite through my tongue because Josie is my boy and he isn't letting up in tackling circuit knowing that he's paired up the long snapper. This is bullshit. So I have to wear my mouthpiece now. And then I eventually got to the point where it was like tackling circuit was like my jam. Like that was my 3 minutes of practice where I got to fucking go. And so I liked it, but yeah, I would say the biggest bell rung I've ever had was maybe like I was paired up within the D line group. I think it might even been Chauncey, dude. Like, and I had to like Chauncey was tackling me and I was sitting there like, what am I doing? And now Chauncey's with the Cowboys. So good for him. But
Mark,
yeah,
who do you think hit you the hardest in practice ever?
Practice? Hitch.
And Hitch?
Yeah, there's no doubt. It was a fullback, dude. And he was, fullback B plays. Oh, my God. Like, it was just both of us were just full speed. Neither of us cared about our life.
Oh,
God. You want to know the two people that hit me the hardest in practice that I've ever been hit?
Who?
John Loudermilk and Anthony Gare. I thought Anthony Garrett actually paralyzed me because he hit me and my whole body fell asleep. And like, I was just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get like full sensation back.
Well, it's because the defense knew what we were doing every play.
It was horrible. Kevin,
you guys knew
every play.
Not every play. You're right. Not everyone, but most. But especially, okay.
Half the plays.
Especially on the Charlies.
9-on-7. 9-on-7. The first play is 23B. Every time.
And then the one time that it wasn't, I think they – I remember they switched it up one time. This was before I started playing linebacker. And it went for a touchdown, right? But no, like our five technique got reached by the center because everyone was expecting 23B, and they ran it the other way.
Yeah.
Mark, how many – so you're right. It comes – and it's not just you. It's not just Drake. I think – it's probably underestimated how many guys come to this realization at the end of their career. Like, okay, it's now a safety thing versus how long do I hold on?
Yeah. I think it just depends where you are, right? Like if you're a fullback in the NFL, like your livelihood is based on you like displacing human beings and then college too. And then you're going to be on special teams, which is another
General managers ask questions to find the right players. Like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
That's a nightmare with it.
Yep.
So at some point, like you said, it's just like you can replace a knee, you can replace an ankle, you can replace almost anything nowadays except your brain.
Can't do the brain.
No, you can't.
You can replace an ankle, Mark?
Damn right you can.
There we go, Kevin.
Striker Orthopedics.
There it is, right there.
There you go, baby.
There's the old.
You might have just got a sale, Daddy-O.
Yeah. Yeah. You just give Drake a good ankle, and he might be free agent back into the league sometime soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's just scary. And it's good that you made the smart decision. But so you called up Doyle and the guys and you're like, hey, I want to be an intern. Like, is that basically it?
So that was with the medical sales. So I'm like not happy there. And I'm telling them there, I'm like, hey, I'm not the happiest right now. Like I might be thinking about doing something else. I don't know. So then I called Doyle up and I'm like, hey, how do I get in? Like, I know like there's ways, like there's a starting place. Like, how do I start? Where do I start? Do you mind if I come in?
Yeah.
And talk to you? And had a discussion about it. He's like, let me talk to KF. Make sure it's okay if you intern here, cause you're just so recent.
Right.
And then call back that. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And when I heard that,
I would have shit my pants actually, if KF said no.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was never going to say no.
He was never going to. It was 100%.
Not for Mark, at least. For some people he would. When I heard that you were, cause I knew that you were doing the medical sales thing. We always have guys come in. Hey, you want to do medical sales? Talk to me. Like, I'll get you a job. Basically it's for former athletes, right? Like, it's competitive. Kevin's excelling in it right now. It's like fast paced. It's a young guy's game. Right. And then I heard like, oh, Weissman's he's going to quit his medical sales job and he's going to come do the intern. And I was like, what the fuck?
My brain also fell on the floor when I found out he was leaving a very lucrative job to come be an intern. I fucking spilled on the floor.
Yeah. I was like, he's giving up. It's like, he's probably on his way to making six figures easy in like the next few years if he wants to. And he's going to come wake up at 3:30 and give the guys who don't make body weight milkshakes. I'm so confused.
But like, It fits though. Like, if you kind of like, you guys know me enough that like, that's what I loved. Like, going to bed early, waking up early. Like, I'm an old man in that sense. And I've been that way for a while now. And
you and Kevin are, you could not be, I mean, I feel like I'm talking to Kevin when I talk to you.
It's the same. It's the same thing. It's the same mentality. Right. So it's, it was an easy decision at the time, whether it sounds like it or not. It was just like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to get back into this. And I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. I don't have anything that's anchoring me down.
Life was set up for it.
Yeah, exactly. And still is now. Shit. So I'm good to go. Like,
right.
It's the same type of thing. It's like, and that's probably the issue, is that I'm very selfish in my life.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to that
stuff. I relate to that.
Now, part of the thing for me was like, I was like a week after the draft, and you know, had a couple of calls with some teams, and then they, you know, ultimately got the no go. And I'm just like, well, I don't know anything else. I'm going to see if Doyle will let me stick around for a little bit longer. Because, I mean, that was literally it for me. Like, I knew nothing else other than how to be a part of the Iowa football program.
Right.
I just didn't know what else I was going to do with my life. But you got, like, you were out in the real world for a little bit. Was it a shock for you at all, like, when you start, like Coop said, like, we actually, as interns, were waking up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Getting to the building. You couldn't park at the building, so you had to park a mile away, ride your bike to the building, and then, you know, start setting up for the 5:45 workouts. Was that like a shock to you at all, going from, you know, real world, like, you know, med sales is hard work, but, you know, it's nothing compared to what you got put through as an intern.
No, and it's not the same, obviously. And like, yeah, it's a little bit of a shock. Like, it's like not like here to be tough macho guy. Like, it's not a shock, and it sucked, but I knew what I was getting into. Like Nick, I talked to Nick, I talked to Joel and all them. I knew exactly what I was getting into. Doyle told me exactly what it was going to be like. It's no one lied or anything. So I knew.
Oh yeah, for sure. They're all front with you.
I knew it was going to be long, crazy days along those lines. And, but I was okay with that. And I was completely good with it, and that's what I wanted to do. So when there's something that you really, really want to do, it doesn't matter what kind of setbacks and how hard it is, you'll get through it.
Yeah. What did you now, go, Kev.
So this is my thing. Is like, for like literally being an athlete one day and an intern the next week, it was really hard for me to make that transition, because I just wanted to be an athlete. I just wanted to be out there competing with the guys and stuff. Was that something that you struggled with at all, or?
Yeah, I struggled.
I don't know. I'm just curious.
No, I do. I struggled with it because, one, I missed it, and it made me miss it even more. And two,
for sure, that was what like fucking like ripped was like tearing at my heart every morning.
Yeah, and it sucks that way. And like that, like you see guys do stuff, you're like so mad, but you have to be coach. Even when you're an intern, you have to be coach. You can't be player, in that sense, like a teammate for them. So like you're like, you can't be doing this shit this way, but like it's up to the players at that point to do something about it. And like they always did, like it's the Iowa program, the way it was run. So, but in the competition part of it, yeah, like you got to find a way to compete in some sort of sense, because, and that's
for sure.
Ending for any of you guys, like that'll never be ending. Like you'll want to compete in something at all times. It doesn't even have to be like a big thing, but some way to fill that competitive edge. Otherwise, you're going to do it in bad ways.
Yeah. Drake, are these two the same fucking person?
Yeah, man. I said that. Did I not say that in the intro?
I mean, the more they talk, it's like, I think we just got a clone. Like, what did you take away?
Well, I mean, come on, guys. Like, when you guys showed up to Iowa football, who did you guys look up to?
Well, I wanted to be Brandon Sheriff, but I didn't have the genetics.
Me too.
It was the fucking walk-on story. It's Mark Wiseman for Heisman. Dude was a walk-on, became like an overnight sensation. It's like, okay, I'm going to do whatever the fuck that guy does.
It's true.
Multi-time team captain. First walk-on ever to be multi-time team captain.
Yeah. Yeah, you, to be honest, Mark, we probably owe the podcast to you. You probably deserve royalties. Because
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank. You.
I actually, Mark, this is a funny story. You had just graduated, and it would have been, we played with you for 2 years and then going into 2015. So we had just gotten back from winter break, and the year before I had worn number 9 just because that was an extra jersey that KF had and he knew I wasn't playing.
I remember that.
So I get to my locker and there's jersey number 45 in it. And it was like the very first day. And I'm like, dude, I don't even feel right putting this on. Like, Mark is still in the locker room. I can't wear this man's jersey. And I don't know. I'll never forget that. They handed me your jersey down. I was like, well, can't leave this jersey in a better place. So fuck me.
That's not the case, man. No, you did. And it's like, you always want to see that number. Like, it's cool to see that number succeed. Like, you always want to see the next person wear that number, do really good things and succeed, and you did. And you're obviously the ultimate savage.
Nah, that, hey, it had to be something. It had to be something about the number, like something about, we're very clearly very different people from, I would say, from a community perspective. Just the way we behave is a little different. Mm-hmm. And, but we are cut from the same cloth competitively. And I think that the coaches did see that. And they're like, I think that by giving Drake this number, it's going to motivate him because he's not going to want to look like a fool in Mark Wiseman's jersey. I do think it probably had something to do with that.
Yeah. Well, it worked. That's good.
Yeah, it worked. Man, I remember that too. I actually remember that, Drake, the day that you walked in, because I heard you freaking out and I was like, what's going on? And he's like, they gave me Mark's number. And I'm like, well, good luck with that. Yeah, that's funny. What did you take away from your time as an intern? And then Joel leaves and it's like almost a perfect fit. You step right into that last assistant spot, official spot with the team. Macro, big picture, life lesson kind of stuff. What did you take away from that experience? And just your experience at Iowa as a player, what did that do to you as a person? Well, how did that mold you? What did you learn?
It's the most demanding place you can be outside the military. Like, I was in it. So like, I understand that it's very demanding, but it brings the best out of you. Like, there's the stresses. Like, if you're too stressed, not good. But if you're not stressed at all, terrible thing. So like, the stress caused you to be better as mm-hmm. a player and as a coach as well. The demand is extremely high. The discipline of doing things over and over and over again, the consistent, the break the rock type deal. Like, the mantras are there for a reason. Like, you remember them. Like, you can mock them as much as you want. Anyone can, but that usually means that they're working, the stuff yeah. along that. And like, the biggest thing, like, I read a little bit in college. Like, we didn't have the same type of reading that we did when we were there, but like, as an intern, like, you're given books that you have to read, and like, I really got into them, and now like, I love reading. Mm-hmm. I love reading any kind of books that there are. Who can I learn from? Like, biographies more than anything. It's like, this person's just giving me 70 years, 60, 70, 80 years of their life, and I get to read it in 300-400 pages. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. That just gave me a whole new perspective on reading, Mark, which I'm not actually surprised getting new perspectives from a guy like yourself. I'm now going to become better at reading because you just put that piece in there that they're giving 70 years worth of knowledge in 300 pages.
Boom. There we go. I got one. Caught one right
there. You got one. You literally just got a new biography reader.
It's true.
You just got to pick the people that you want to be like.
Any favorites out there?
Yeah. So like, obviously like, the Slight Edge started it all. Like, that was the big one.
Yeah.
It started it all. I'm a huge Ryan Holiday guy. So like, ego is the enemy. Stillness is the key. Obstacles away. I can't get enough of those. And the key, him and Robert Greene, because right, he was under Robert Greene. Like, those guys, they read hundreds of books. So even more, those guys read hundreds of books, put the best parts of the biographies in their book. So I don't have to read a 700 page book, which is amazing.
Yeah. It's so, like, all distilled.
Books, yeah. Like, The Laws of Human Nature is like the best book. That might be the best book I read by Robert Greene. And it's unbelievable. And it's like 7-8 books in one.
Wow.
With how it's written. Like, each chapter could be a whole book in itself. So, but there's so many like sports biographies like that are just so good by people. And like, even podcasts, like, sometimes I'd rather listen to the podcast because it's more recent and you can actually hear them speak and how they think. So,
you You were under Doyle, and we don't want to beat a dead horse with the whole situation, but obviously a intricate kind of ordeal that happened with Iowa in the last summer. And you talked about stress, how a little bit is good, or a lot of bit in that case, higher than most people's, but too much, you know, and a lot of the players that kind of came out last year and said that they weren't comfortable in the program, said they were walking around in eggshells. Definitely something that we all kind of understand or, you know, where that's coming from. And then you went on to run your own program for a year. What kind of situation is that like, trying to build a culture that is asking just enough of guys, but also in a respectful way, in a fair, equitable way? Was that a challenge for you? And what did you take away from that experience?
Yeah. And I think no doubt. And it's a challenge, whether we are in what we're in now, like the era that we're in now versus 10, 15 years ago. Like, it's hard to build a good culture. And yep. It all starts with standards, right? You have standards, and those standards cannot be dropped for anyone at any time. The standards, there's difference though. And the coach there, Coach Two, who's a head coach at SEMO, he had a really good saying that I really took away from with everything that was going on in the world with the social injustice, is that you need to be you, but align with us. Right. So wow. You can be you.
I love that.
Like, you gotta be you. Everyone's their own individual. And like, if everyone was the same and just straight regimented, then it'd be a boring freaking team. You need guys with personality, but they better align with the team and meet those same standards. That's where it has to be. There's that demanding versus demeaning, and it's a fine line, but you can't be demeaning and cross that line. And the better relationships, what are you gonna say, Kev?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, man.
But the better relationships you build, right? The more, if that line happens to be crossed, they'll come to you, right?
I'll tell you what, the best relationships that I felt like I had within the Iowa football program were ones where I felt that my superiors made an attempt to be my friend. As long as you respected them as superiors, like yourself, DeMarco, even as high up for me as Coach Brian, like, Coach Brian acted to me as if he was my peer on almost all levels. Like, there were times where he was very clearly Brian Ferentz, but for 95% of the time, he was just Brian. Like, what's up, Coach Brian? Like, we could talk about anything. And those relationships make you want to, like, really, really go to war for somebody.
Yeah. And that's where, like, the ego comes in, right? If you have an ego, like a huge ego, you think you're better than everyone, you're not willing to learn from anyone, bad, bad situation. When you have humility, you're able to learn. Knowing you can learn from anyone for good or for bad, you can always learn from people, and you listen more than you talk is the key with that. Well, the issue comes with that when, like, a coach thinks that they're way above everyone else, right? If they think they're way above everyone else, above the law, above whatever it is, that's where that ego comes into play and can be harmful. And like, people talk about humble as saying like, I stink, like, oh, I'm no good. Like, talking down to yourself, that's not humility. That's like imposter syndrome. That's whatever you want to call that. Like, that's not humble. Humble is when, like, you got a little confidence, not cocky, but you got confidence in what you can do, but you know what you know, and you know you don't know a lot, and you're willing to learn from smart people.
Well,
that dichotomy, you know, how confident, but, you know, be confident in yourself. But yeah, you literally just said it, man. That's what it takes to be a great leader.
Yeah,
is knowing what you don't know and being able to learn, take feedback from others, and adapt and change the ways to continue to grow.
And Mark, isn't it funny that in everything that I've learned personally, and I'm sure it's like this in everything in life, the more you actually do know and the more proficient you become at something, the less proficient you realize you actually are. The mm-hmm. further from perfect that you, like, you just keep gaining and gaining. You look back and you're like, damn, I used to suck. And then you look where the end game is and you're like, holy smokes, who did I think I was back then?
Exactly. And like you just put it there, like the end game, like, and that end game, once you get to there, guess what? There's another one. It's infinite, right? There's no end. And the more we can realize that, the better off we're going to be. and we're going to be continually be able to have success and have a little delayed gratification, like we talked about with the transfer portal earlier.
Yeah.
So just be able to like see things through, be consistent, and just stay on the path.
That quote that you started that with, "Be you, but align with us." That might be a t-shirt. That's pretty fucking good.
Based on it.
we'll put 45 on there, and it'll be like the jacked up 45. But I mean, Drake was jacked up too, I guess. It might be hard to distinguish. That's fucking good stuff.
Well, I mean, that's such a great thing. I mean, because you want everyone to be their own self, but you have to have a core set of values that everyone buys into.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you make a great culture. That's how you make a great team. I love that thing. It's so simple, but just very powerful at the same time.
And I think it speaks a lot to what happened with Iowa too. There was a lot of some guys not on both ends of that. There was a lot of some of the guys weren't allowed to be themselves fully in some instances. But on the other side of it, there was a lot of people who they were being themselves. They just weren't really on the whole train of aligning with the us part. Right. Yeah. And so it was both sides of the coin.
Yeah, and like, it comes down to recruiting. But the issue with that is like, you're not going to hit, especially on a football team. This isn't basketball where like you can be way more selective. With a football team, you got 130 guys, you're going to miss.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you can be perfect on everyone.
And goddamn, does this podcast know they miss a lot.
They miss. They miss a few times. Sometimes they just hit diamonds in the rough, too. I think we'd be remiss to skip over some of the actual playing stuff from your career, Mark. Drake mentioned in the intro, overnight success, Weissman for Heisman. I don't think it was overnight. There was obviously a lot of that going on.
That actually was no way part of mine. That was you. You said overnight success. I, go back and check the tape, said nothing about overnight success.
I did not say overnight success. That was
100%. Somebody said it and it wasn't me.
Okay, well, okay. We'll check the tape. Wash up Walk-On's Army, check the tape, get back to me on Twitter.
Hey, tape don't lie, man. Tape don't lie.
Tape doesn't lie.
Hey, gosh damn it. If I said it, I'm going to be pissed.
Yeah, and you did. So we'll hear from you. Talking about tape, when you were putting plays on tape, Mark, and then all of a sudden you start to see high school repeat itself and Garmin goes down, and who else was even there? Like Coker?
Bullock. So Coker was gone.
Oh, D-Bull.
It was gone. D-Bull. So those are the two that got hurt in the game. Mike Malloy was sick that game.
Yep.
Barkley Hill tore his ACL.
Yep.
And Harry was coming back from the ACL, wasn't ready.
Yep.
So, like, DeAndre Johnson left the program in the summer. So, like, those were the guys that were on the team that were fullback.
They were supposed to be the running backs.
Yeah. So, like, it was still a low amount of guys. Like, that's small room because of all the turnover that happened beforehand.
Right.
But, like, still, like, that's still 5-6 guys. Like, all right, like, well, during camp, there were some injuries too. So during camp, I was running one fullback and twos and threes running back.
Oh,
so, like, thank God I was young still and like hadn't had much on me, but like, those were the most brutal days. That was the worst
camp. You were running first team fullback and then second team and third team reps with the running back. Yeah, oh my God.
I know. So I was prepared. I knew the position really, really well, the running back position. I was as prepared as you could. X's and O's, different story actually doing it. But X's and O's, I knew what I was going to be, what I could be doing. But, like, you can't foresee what was going to happen. Like, you can't even, like, you could dream about it all you want. But, like, we talked about, it doesn't mean you're going to be a running back. And I was okay with that. Like, I loved being a fullback. It's the ultimate sacrificial position. Yep. And I love that. And I loved everything that being a fullback meant. But it's fun to be a running back too, no doubt. Like,
yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
And you got to score touchdowns, a lot of them. In fact, I think you're third or fourth all time. Like, all of a sudden, you know, this whole Weissman for Heisman season, you start playing the position. I would love to hear the mental shift and the it's easier said than done and the challenges you faced once you started actually playing Big Ten running back. But then, like, you end up, you know, eight touchdowns. Your senior year in 14, we didn't have a great year, but you end up with 16 touchdowns that year. You're like on top five lists of yards, rushes, touchdowns, and it just kind of happened. And you were just like, "All right, cool, like this is what we're doing."
Yeah, and it's like I'm not as fast as most people. Like,
I was just about to ask you what it was like running conditioning skills.
Dude, that was the worst day. So, it happened at the worst time, too, because we had a bye. So, we played that game, and then we had a bye. And then during the bye week, you know, we do, like, the guys that don't practice have to, like, run 55s. That was my first time running with the skill guys. And it's supposed to be an – it was supposed to be, like, a lower. It wasn't plus ones. It was regular.
Oh.
But, it was regular times, but it was, like, only 8 or 10. But I was so – tired, and it's not that it's the 1 second. It has nothing to do with the 1 second. I could make the time anytime.
It's the pace.
It's you the pace of it.
It's the rest periods.
You got Micah Hyde running with it, Keenan Davis, all these guys, Kevontae Shump. Like, you got these guys running fast, and I'm like, all right, this is not cool. And I got too much pride, and I have too much pride to not go hard on those. So you can't be the guy finishing last, even if you were 15, 20 pounds heavier than everyone else. And it doesn't matter. You got to
find. And you were 40 pounds heavier than everybody else.
For the most, the next guy, Keenan, was probably the next biggest guy, like at like 209, 210.
And you were what, 235?
Yeah, at that time, I was, right, 235.
Oh my God. Yeah. Kevin, he's an asshole. He got to go the other way. He started with the skill. And then
that was awesome.
And then he got to be a linebacker, you know?
Yeah, no, that's asshole. All. It's just the tempo.
It was awesome.
Because it's purely tempo of it. Like,
yeah.
1 second has nothing to do. It's just like, how are you? What's the pace of it?
Oh, trust me. I've never had more. I think the funniest I've ever been, and probably if I could translate it into a podcast, people would think it was hilarious, was the time in between conditioning reps in my head, the conversations I was having with myself. because it was not good. Especially early on in my career, like the first couple of years with you, like, I mean, you probably remember I was a sack of shit. I was fat, long snapper coming out of Marshalltown and could not. I mean, dude, our skills and drills, conditioning, footwork stuff at Marshalltown was like dot drill. And then you did like 8 sets of ladders. Hey, speed day, eight sets of ladders and some dot drill.
Yeah. Different story, no doubt.
Mark, do you remember the day that we almost perished? Were you there? Or were you still working with Stryker? The stations in 60s day where we almost actually...
Always the hottest fucking day of the year.
I don't remember if I was there for like specifically the one you're talking about, but like it's the worst. Stations in 6, that's why, because the game simulators, like they always just ended up working out. Maybe there was one that was really hot once in a while, but it was always the stations in 60s that were the worst.
And man, there was one day in particular.
I shit you not, every fucking year.
That was bad. Yeah.
And that's
sure if you were there as an intern, because like I remember some of the interactions afterwards with the coaches. Like they were like, man, we truly felt bad for y'all, but you couldn't do anything about it. I didn't know if you were there or not.
I can't remember if it was that one, if I was there for specifically that one. But
dude, Drake, you remember, I mean,
I said we almost perished, dude. I wasn't lying.
I mean, I remember it. The shoes, there's sweat gushing out of your shoes on the turn. I remember looking over and the coaches were in the shade. They were like standing on the edge of the building because it was just a little bit of shade. And Lima is running us through those reps. And I'm thinking it was a good 21 years. It was good. And I gave my best. And this is where it ends. And that's it, dude. I die on the Hanson Performance Facility practice fields and the Kenyon practice fields, and I'm happy. And that's it.
And there's always a fine line between like doing too much and not doing enough, because like there's something to say, like doing stuff just to do it, to make things hard, like at a sports level, like there's no place for that. You shouldn't be doing that. But you have to do hard things, because hard things make hard people. So like
facts.
The only
huge
way
to facts,
the
only man.
Way to do it.
And like, America needs
t-shirt.
To listen to that.
Put it on a t-shirt.
That's another t-shirt, man. We got
I
two
think
t-shirts.
People have already made that t-shirt. I think that's been long done.
Yeah. It had to have been.
It is a thing in strength and conditioning. I know. It's like you want evidence-based, you know, practicality to your workouts that are actually going to improve performance on the field.
Yeah.
But every now and then, you got to put them through the shit so that they, when things get hard during the game, like they been, you know, in a place before where their body's been stressed beyond what they're accustomed to, and they can still perform in that environment.
Yeah, no doubt. There's something to say about it. Like, we're not here being Goggins, like being on that level, but you got to put yourself through hard things.
Yeah. I remember
that day I felt like Goggins boy.
Yep. I remember thinking this is a lot of conditioning for a long snapper, huh? Seems like a little bit much. If we look at the game field data, I'm not
going to run. You should have asked somebody for a GPS monitor in game. Be like, I did.
Our senior year, when we were on that level with Coach Doyle, I went up to him several times and said, "Hey, Coach, we should look at how much I fucking run during a game, huh? Because it's not even close." Hey, that's why, right?
Bull prep, those 60s, you specialists are so out of shape.
It's so funny. It's funny that you remember that because we do that. We go into bull prep and y'all have been practicing. You guys run during the year. And the specialists, we kind of just like get by on Sundays. Yeah. You know, everyone else, it's like, oh, easy. We're sprinting it out. For me, it's like, oh, we got to stretch to make these sumbitches here. And then we get the bull prep and it's like, all right, we got 660s on that first Wednesday.
It's actual conditioning again. Yeah.
And I'm looking down the line. I'm taking a drink like GPP, baby. Let's fucking go. But, you know, as you get into the program, like, you know, year 3, 4, 5, you're on a baseline conditioning level because you're holding it throughout the year where it's like, okay, I can rock this now, to the point where like senior year, you're like, there was two different modes for me, at least in the early years. It was survive and make the times. And then by the end, it was like, try and thrive, try and beat Josie, try and beat CJ on a rep or something like that.
Yeah.
That was funny, but you're right. Hard things make hard people. And now those workouts that we used to do in the fucking hot summer, pushing sleds. And I'm thinking, wow, this is so dumb. I don't need to do this. I snap a ball. Now it's like, I'm chasing that kind of feeling in my own like CrossFit workouts now. Like,
yeah, I know. I see you do this stuff and like it's real though. It's like, how can you find a way to compete and push yourself still?
Yeah.
Cause like you're going to go, a lot of people go one way where they stop working out and that doesn't go very well. Yep. And then you go the other way. And then you go the other way where some people like will get skinny and like be in shape. And then there's those other people that just like, all right, I'm going to do exactly what I was kind of doing before and like, go hard. And they change it a little, but you're not trained to be an athlete on the football field, but you're going to push yourself. So,
yeah. It's funny how many guys, even from your class, Mark, have hit me up because of this, you know, there's the stuff I do now.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, and you've probably gotten it too. Hey, like, how do I get, you know, can you put me something together to like get in shape? I've gotten fat. Like I haven't lifted in so long. And it's kind of funny because I'm like, oh, you didn't give me the fucking time of day when we were in the program. Now you want to know how you get muscles, huh? Funny.
You want me to tell you how to make your wife not hate you? Fuck yourself.
Yeah. So you do the thing with the college for a year. What's the realization that maybe the school route isn't what you wanted to do?
So I think the realization came with family.
Yeah.
I hadn't been home like truly like for more than a week or two since I left for Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And if something were to happen, like parents are getting older now, if something were to happen, right, there'd be regrets. And I haven't regretted shit in my life, like a true regret. Like I've regretted things I've said before, obviously, but like true like actions, like not many regrets, if any, but there'd be regrets if something happened. So I'm like, all right, I got to find a way to get home. Well, there's no way to get home unless you go work at Northwestern, which like, but how are you going to, you don't just get that job, right? Like that's not, doesn't open first of all. And like, you don't just go and get it. So like, all right, so what are my options? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to get home. Like the whole COVID thing, I realized like, it's got to be done. At some point it's got to be done. Whatever I do, I can still live my why of helping people become their best, their true self, whether it's an athlete, whether it's a housewife, whether it's a guy who wants to run marathons, bodybuilding, whatever it is, just be healthy. I can help them be their best. So like, that's kind of what I'm at now. Like this place I'm at, Spear, which I love. I love the people that work there. Great facility, really good equipment. It's everything I need to be able to live my why. So, and now I get to be with family, which is awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. That's why I, you know, because all three of us, health and human phys, exercise science, right? Same track. And man, after I went through a couple years in the program, and I never knew, it was never my thing either. I was never like, that's going to be me. Like, I want to be Coach Doyle.
Yeah.
But it was solidified that I did not want to be that after I saw the amount of time that you had to put in. And I was like, man, I want to see my kids. Like, you know, like I want to not have to be away all the time. Yeah. And so it's a special life for sure. It's different.
Especially as like a coach, right? Because now in season, like they're there forever. Ever. Right. And then off season, they're recruiting.
Yep.
So it doesn't end. So like that was never a thing. Like, cause there are like opportunities, like maybe to GA and play something. No chance. Like nope. I want no part of that life.
Yep. Same. And I think Kevin probably had some of those same thoughts. Kev, is that what you thought too?
I mean, yeah. I thought about getting into actual coaching too. You know, flirted with the idea of becoming a GA. But you know who really turned me off to it is like, I knew like the coaches like just had like shit lives, like literally at the complex 16, 18 hours a day during the season. And, you know, out of season recruiting, but I was talking to Ben Neiman, as you guys know, his dad's a coach. He's like, yeah, dude, we moved like 6 times growing up. I'm like, I can't imagine. That's gotta be so hard putting your family through that, especially if you got kids. Like,
yep.
Like Ben like didn't have like friends for more than like 3 years at a time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It's like, ah, like that's brutal to do to your family. And, you know, God bless the men that do it because they have a tremendous influence on the kids who they coach lives, but it's a huge sacrifice to their families.
Yeah. 100%.
Shout out to us for being Ben's longtime friends, though.
True. Anything you two have questions for Mark before we let him go? We would love to have you back, Mark. We just don't want to take up too much of your time today.
No doubt. Yeah.
This was one of the coolest things ever that we could talk about all the great times on our podcast with you, man, because let's be honest. It was like the staple of all of our lives up to this point. None of us have true families of our own. We don't have children to pour our whole lives into. So getting to reminisce on the greatest 5 years of all of our lives has been pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. Mark Wise.
Absolutely, man. You're going to be back in town for Ben Hansen's putting that get together back in July.
I know. I'm thinking about it. If it works out, I definitely want to be back for that stuff, but yeah, that'd be awesome. Everybody again. Yeah. But no, it's been a pleasure being on, guys. Like we hold that bond forever, that walk on bond forever. And like, it's a mentality and it's a lifestyle even to this day. Like it's the walk on mentality.
And absolutely.
We share it together and we're all washed up, but like, doesn't matter at this point. We're walk ons forever.
Let's go.
And that is the general of the walk on army right there, folks.
Yeah. If that doesn't get you fired up, listeners, then I don't know what does. We should just quit the podcast because that you're not going to get any better. Episode 211 with Mark Wiseman. We'll have him back on eventually. But that's it. We'll talk to you again next time. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.